for the Zoom call the dog.
Six.
Yeah, he's gonna be able to see
a zooming in
that way.
My niece will try to pick her up. Well, my niece is very short, so close.
Okay.
Quarters of her height, and she's trying to haul my kid around. I'm like, Megan, you're gonna hurt yourself.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, same to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's busy. It was good. How about you?
Same.
Good.
Same. My daughter was. From Kansas,
so you both take
from I took a week off and spent it with my daughter and my niece, and they dragged me all over. Yeah, it was good.
Okay.
I took home, I took home weather because he was
That was raised possibly.
Yeah. I've had a few older students, so I'll even say 40 plus crowd, and they'll have a similar, they'll get to a place. I don't allow my young ones to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is not working. Let's do something else. I'm like, okay.
All of a sudden they were here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
What's crazy? I've been teaching
Christmas
for 21 years.
Good.
Good. Awesome.
But I kind of have learned and shifted that way of
it's very rare.
My music teacher was very like
now and
crack
then.
The whip and you're only playing Mozart.
No,
Jim,
first time.
Which is cool. So I
all of our
allow
siblings
them to choose their path.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
and
years,
I can make it,
path.
I can alter it to make it as advanced as it needs to be.
It is fun. This was
yeah,
fun.
Last year.
Are you, were you in the range
she's
of siblings?
She's never been a morning person.
Last Christmas,
she got up and
was second.
She wanted to go see Santa Claus. We showed her the
youngest?
Second to
youngest. Yeah, I have a younger sister.
This year, a little bit of
yeah, and me, the older sister.
Now I get to start
to eat.
One,
yeah.
COVID around the time, so we didn't go. But this year, just Laredo, Texas.
Laredo.
Yeah.
Brings back a lot of memories.
Oh yeah, you've been there.
My dad.
That's cool. I did, okay. Which was not
love to travel.
Not the best, but it worked during when COVID was really at its max. I did
okay.
Zoom
his
lessons.
Favorite entry point was Laredo.
Yeah.
And we would eat at this restaurant, Golding's. It's probably not still there. I'm 67.
On the Laredo side or the?
On the Laredo side.
Somehow it worked because I had to like parents angle it at the right.
No.
Probably gone, but it was such a, it was our like our tradition.
Yeah.
So many like, you know, you'd had back in the day, I mean, like, that was 60 years ago. Okay. 60 years ago. They had like they had one person that was telling you all about where to go and what was good and where to get gas.
I'm good. How are you doing?
It was called Sanborn's.
I appreciate that. I didn't get to
that has changed. It's since the internet and every it's available wherever. But they were very helpful. At, you know, let you know where the petrol would be.
Sure.
So we would. That was he loved Laredo.
Yeah, it was. It was
yes,
big.
That's what I heard.
Pub. I mean, it still is big.
Still a big hub.
I think when I was there, the like high school years, they added like a third international bridge. Then we have like four or five bridges down there. One's strictly commercial, two are like pedestrian.
Are they experiencing a lot of issues with the border?
They were like 4 years ago.
Not
anymore. Yeah, from what my mom said and from what I was there, like, they managed it pretty well down there.
I tell you, it's a quandary.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adam.
Yeah, we love
there
to
you
travel.
Go. The link.
Nice. Yeah, it was could be home for a bit. And we just went real quick and then left after the Christmas because we wanted our own. It was good. Awesome.
You better enjoy it while your parents are still here.
Yes.
It happens too quickly, they're gone, and it's kind of... Matriarch and patriarch kind of just...
Yeah, that's one reason, because we have our older sister
that's
moved to Miami.
So we approved it on a date.
Asher, yeah, so she flew down by herself.
Okay.
So.
At least they saw her.
Yeah, she said that too. She's like, I'm on better getting up there. Like, yeah. So we went.
A Zoomer. Petrie can't make it. It looks like he'll be on the known place prominence in the front on his. But they're placing it here, I heard, so they can see the.
So he can see
the room as well. If someone talks or whatever, it'll be right there, I guess. It's probably not as good as.
I'm thinking we're going to make a world record tonight.
I hope.
Okay.
Get a question?
No, I was just going to say hi, and we got virtual Dr. Petrie here. That's gonna work.
The light. Light meeting.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Skating by the way. You're not. We'll see.
Yeah, I've never underestimated.
Oops.
That worked out very well.
I just squeezed in that. Crazy.
Got it?
The 29th or something. Like I just squeezed in.
Thank you. Yeah. Like that. Thank you, too.
You had a good Christmas?
Yes.
Guys,
yes, you should. Look, I pulled up a picture because I was showing one to
Santa. Was good, I bet.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Awesome. We have about four more, man.
Yeah?
I have five.
We'll work on that.
You know, after you get to three, you're playing drum beat anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We're trying.
What's one more?
It's true. Yeah.
Oh,
for third. My wife was at that age. I wanted to go for three, but my wife was like,
We have three, but my son-in-law tells us I have three. Each of my girls have two children, two boys, and a boy and a girl. Well, the youngest one, who is still could possibly have children, her husband says she'll have her third child with her second husband. So there you go. That like kind of maybe isn't going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's not in the cards.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, he's funny.
Tell us how bad.
We were both kind of itching for one. But she was getting to that age range, and I was like, I didn't want to push her.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, babe, it's all right. It's okay. We.
That's what a lot of what you got. That's it.
Oh yeah, we're content, and plus, like, we've like blessed other girls, right? Because we wanted a girl, because we got two boys.
I have three girls. I know you're feeling. Well, one day, but you know what? God sends us what we need.
Yeah, exactly.
We're supposed to have.
So what happened is like, my younger sister, she just had a baby, so she's 13-month-old. So we get to spoil the baby.
That one, yeah.
We have a neighbor who's 14, so we've known her since she was 10, so we got to spoil her.
Yeah.
So we have like
a lot of
others.
I know, right? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, we can just kind of spoil and love on them.
Doing
work out through them.
How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah. A week off, and I was not ready to come back.
The other one is.
Fly by.
One more week.
Yes.
You cannot have been ready.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to rest.
From the rest.
Exactly.
You need a break from the break.
Yeah.
Yep.
Always.
Every time.
I still got to take my treatment.
Mine's in Laredo,
not on the way there.
It was in Laredo. Right.
Get to work.
He was like, loved every kind of food. And so he's like, oh, we need to make a deal by whatever we need. And wherever we need egg, wherever. Yeah, it was just. So he would.
I kept telling my wife.
I call some wood.
Well, first I need to get my
food. I call some wood.
Passport. So, but there's this restaurant that I remember my dad took a little cross and just like, have mariachi walk around.
Hopefully I go home and
love
it. It was so beautiful.
I already told my husband I want a mariachi band at my corner.
Yes. Oh my goodness. My sister, my younger sister, she got married 2 years ago. My brother-in-law's brothers pitched in for my mariachi band at their wedding.
It was great. And okay, like at that time,
people had, or there was popular at a club, it was a floor show, it was like a comedy or a singing, or I mean, I'm showing my age, but in the Linda, Mexico, no language barrier. I mean, it was awesome. And they had wonderful comedy. Like universal comedy, I guess. And they would always have like a mariachi or.
Got your visit.
Anyway, that was back in the day.
So they weren't. They were speaking English, or they were just like.
The comedians, so the guys or gals who would be like the, like Ed Sullivan or whoever. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Host or hostess would be, because most of the crowd was, it was fun. I remember good memories in Mexico.
Yep.
Oh, well.
Stuff.
I know my name is not valid.
Ours was supposed to be, but we actually can't
go back and
listen to it.
This jazz.
I don't remember. I think it's been okay, whatever it is.
They should have put two exclamation points right here.
Hello, sir.
The contract with the Ruby Doctor has been signed. It's been like pending for like a long time.
What was that? I saw it a couple months ago.
Yeah, like,
that's the first time I saw it.
Just a head cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's why I made him lose all that.
Just a head, bad head cold.
I think he's been in remission, so he's been good. Yeah.
Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I called him this morning. His mother's.
And they do the show on radio and on Facebook. So I'll be able to go back and
look.
Happy New Year to you.
Had a good holiday.
It was awesome.
Good.
Quiet and good. But
goes quickly.
Too fast, you're right. Right the night before. It's like 22.
Howdy.
Yes.
Momentum, you know.
And I told my sister today, I said, I think between when the pandemic happened, March of 2020. And the rest of 2020, I said, I don't think I remember anything.
Yeah.
Nothing that happened.
Yeah.
Yep.
So much.
Sister likes to put these humongous
uncertainty
balls
on
her.
And
mm-hmm.
thing. That all
right.
played into it.
Right. Yeah.
Texas for.
Yep.
Well, 2 days.
Okay.
Houston.
Well.
The fan they have there. Nice.
Good. See, the parking lot is full outside.
They're not in here, though.
That's
but
good.
They're using the library.
Right.
That is what the purpose of the parking lot is.
In the library than in here.
Yes. You know, people might have research projects or
right.
things
mm-hmm.
They goofed off and they didn't do it over the holidays.
Oh, yep. I'm sure.
Zooming, I wonder. I don't know if Petrie is, but is someone else presuming?
I don't know. They say no new business is good business.
No new business.
I love it.
That's a good thing sometimes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
The holidays were good.
Very. Too short, though.
Oh, always.
And you too?
Did it was
you
good. Busy, but
okay,
good.
Okay, I saw the one where, like, they called a recess around 7.
Yeah. I got to see grandbabies, so that was really cool.
So y'all had went out of town?
We did. We went to, my son lives in...
I saw this, I was like...
Okay.
And so we kind of a, should we go, should we not go? And just pull the trigger. So we went, and it was good. We got there the day after Christmas, that evening, and then we...
It was cold?
It was a little chilly, but it wasn't bad. You know, weather wasn't horrible.
Okay.
I mean, it was 25 in the morning, getting something
okay.
In the mid.
Yeah, as long as you're bundled up when you go outside, you're good. Yeah.
We got to go outside with the little ones and play and you know, stuff like that. So that was good.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Friends have a book sale
okay.
On yes. Thursday.
Ready? We'll get started.
Okay. Let's
see. We'll call a meeting to order.
Report.
So let's. We'll do the roll call. Daniel Kelly and Dr. Petrie are not here. Mr. Landers is here. Mr. Padron, Ms. Wingate, Mr. Thomas, Ms. Ombruster, and Mr. Judge are here. So let the record reflect. So we'll start with an invocation. Mr. Padron, if you could be so kind as to start us with a prayer this evening.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for guiding us here tonight, Lord. We just ask that you be with everyone here today. We're thankful for those that are able to make it here today, Lord. Just guide us in what we need to do. Keep everyone safe, Lord, when we leave here. And just continue to guide us and do what's right. Thank you for putting people here where they need to be. And just continue to guide us in what we need to do here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And a Pledge of Allegiance, please. Please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Our first item is the minutes from our November meeting. As you know, we did not have a meeting in December. I'm sorry. Let me do this. This is the general announcement that we make before every meeting. Welcome to Lafayette Library Board of Control Board meeting. As the presiding officer of the meeting of the board, I would like to announce the following. This is a meeting of the Library Board of Control held in public as required by Louisiana law known as open meeting laws. To address the board on any particular item on the agenda, please fill out the speaker form to submit your information to Ms. Burrow prior to the call of the agenda item, or you will not be given the opportunity to speak. Staff assistance is available if needed. There are conditions of speaking that are listed on the sign-in sheet itself. Please take time to review those items. Items for submission to the board should be handed to Ms. Brough to my right. When addressing the board, please state your name, parish of residence, and title for the official record. The three-minute rule is in effect. Public comment policy in LARS 14103 must be followed. No debating, confrontational statements toward individual board members will be allowed. Violators will be removed. The front row to my left is for media only. Food and drinks are not allowed in the auditorium. Please silence all phones and electronic devices. Meeting procedures are by Robert's Rules of Order in accordance with the board's bylaws. All documents with reference to meetings can be found on the library's website, Library Board tab from the drop-down menu. Comments on agenda items must be germane to the item being discussed. Comments pertaining to library for matters not on the agenda can be addressed at the end of the meeting during comments from the public. Okay, so first item is the approval of the minutes. If everybody would take a look at that.
President?
Yes.
I'd like to move that we accept the minutes as presented.
Okay, we have a motion to accept.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Do we have any comments from the public? No? We have a motion and a second. I'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Comments from the Library Board, Lafayette Public Library Foundation report. I believe, Ms. Wingate, you may have something for us.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
I'd like to report on the two support groups that are really in our public domain here, the Friends of the Lafayette Parish Public Library. I'd like to thank everyone in advance for participating in this Truest recycling project sustained by countless hours of service by the Friends. And they're working on their next $1 million to benefit the Lafayette Public Library. The Friends will hold a mini sale at West Regional on January 12th to the 14th, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's open to all, featuring cookbooks, mysteries, and children's only. So this is a good selection if you're interested in any of those niche sales. And also, ongoing perpetual sales continue at Main and South Regional branches. And the Lafayette Public Library Foundation, the LPLF, our annual event scheduled Thursday, April 20th, 2023 at Vermilionville. We're still fleshing out the agenda for the annual meeting and fundraiser, whose purpose is to raise awareness of our library and its needs. Honor award recipients, engage with our community. We do know some things. The theme is Somewhere Over the Bayou, and more to follow on this, that honors outstanding supporters that go above and beyond for you and our library. LPLF is a Lafayette Reads Together sponsor for yet another year. This will be the eighth year that LPLF has been a sustaining sponsor of this community-wide reading event by providing copies of the selected book available free to the public to join in the event. Look for more info about the library programs, aligning and exploring topics raised by this year's book, Closer to Nowhere by Ellen Hopkins. Free copies provided by the LPLF will be available at all library branches beginning Tuesday, January 17th. So join in the fun. One of LPLF's new outreach activities, Le Bouquiniste, will have a presence at Art Walk on Saturday, January 14th. This event brings books and readers together. So check us out at Art Walk. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful, thanks so much. We'll move on to the next item, Director's Report and Comments.
Okay, so I have been working with Sarah on staffing, and we've been working with civil service on making adjustments to classifications to have the right staff in the right places. Been waiting with legal on movement on the northeast land. It's been an adventure. I went to the November and December Friends of the Library Board meetings. I met with Glenn Lazard, City Council. He had questions about and comments about the area in which Northeast Library would be. It would be in his district. And I have been spending a lot of time working with LPSS, coordinating our partnership with them, including later this week, we will be introduced to their parent group. It's outreach from the LPSS administration to parents in an effort to help them with their children. And I'm scheduled to meet with Councilman Rubin and Councilman Carlson in the coming week. And that's it.
Okay. Moving on. Assistant Director's report and comments.
As Danny mentioned, we're doing a lot with our staffing. Slowly but surely, we're filling our vacancies. Recent staff changes include Christopher Starling. He was promoted to Library Associate 2 as the Meeting Rooms Coordinator at West Regional. Brand new to the system is Sarah DeVille, who was hired as a part-time LTA 1 at Doosan. Gabe McBride, an Adult Services Librarian, lateraled from East Regional to the Main Library. Lacasina Brown, an LTA 3, lateraled from South Regional to the Main Library. And Jordan Bernard, an LA 1, lateraled from North Regional to West Regional. Our current vacancies are Children's Librarian 2 at the Main Library, Children's Librarian 1 at the Main and East Libraries, and Library Associate 1 at the Main, North, and South Libraries. The librarian positions are being advertised right now and close on the 23rd, and we're wrapping up the paperwork to get the LA1 positions advertised so we can test for those. Our libraries finished off the year strong with some really fun and well-attended programs. East Regional's UL Lafayette Science Museum at the Library program was very popular with 64 patrons in attendance. This is part of a series of programs being offered to promote the library's Museum Pass service that gives an individual or family free admission to local museums, including the UL Lafayette Science Museum, Hilliard Art Museum, Children's Museum of Acadiana, and the Vermilionville Living History Museum and Folklife Park. West Regional's holiday cards for the elderly program was a success. In each card, children were encouraged to write a few things about themselves, such as what they enjoy doing, what they look forward to, and their holiday wishes. The cards were delivered to Magnolia Estates Rehab and Retirement. South Regional's board game giveaway was a big hit. The librarian had collected donated board games ahead of time. 63 patrons attended with 130 puzzles and games finding new homes. The remaining 55 items were donated to the Boys and Girls Club. And the bookmobile served approximately 601 patrons in December with over 4,000 checkouts. With a new department head, the bookmobile stop schedule has been completely remastered to better suit patrons and increase attendance. Staff evaluated each stop and used that information to determine where changes were needed in the schedule. And with the help of Parks and Recreation, the bookmobile has arranged 3 new community stops that have been added to the regular schedule. I attended the November and December Friends of the Library board meetings and the Healthy Acadiana Coalition meeting. The 21st annual Rites of Spring Writing Contest is underway. If you have any young writers in your life, encourage them to enter. Students in grades K through 12 can submit pieces of short fiction, personal narrative, or poetry in English, French, Spanish, or Mandarin. They're accepting entries through March 17th. I was in charge of this contest for 3 years, and I must say it was a delight to see the creativity and talent present in the students in our community. So definitely, if you know anyone that likes to write, encourage them to enter. Joan talked about LRT, so starting next Tuesday, pick up a free book, join the discussion. You can meet the author on March 2nd here in this very room. The Friends has the mini book sale, so definitely go support them. And for those in the audience, if you want any more information on this stuff, our book talk is available online and in the libraries.
Thanks, Helen. Thank you. Okay, facilities update and financial report. Next item on the agenda, Mr. Angel, I believe that's in your world.
Yes, sir. For the facilities report, the main library roof project is moving right along. We signed the contract with the roofer. We also met with the architect, contractor, public works, and the roofing manufacturer for a pre-construction meeting on December 8th. We went over the project in detail and made any clarifications as necessary. I also met with the architect to confirm the moisture conditions on the lower roof. We did a moisture survey back in March of 2021. And we just wanted to make sure that the conditions remained, and it's still very wet, so we can't reuse any of the materials as originally planned. We're going to tear off the complete system and start from scratch. We were hoping to try and save some money, but it's not possible. We also did some pool tests to confirm the fastener size for the lower roof. We did some core samples around the roof drains to confirm depth and glue pattern and thickness. And Public Works should have or will soon issue a notice to proceed to officially start the contract time. And I'm waiting to hear about what those lead times might be on the materials. So next month I should have a better update for you guys to kind of give you an idea when they're gonna start tearing things off. As it relates to the South Regional Library upgrades, we are anticipating the combined schematic and design development phases, plans and specifications to be presented to the library staff at the end of January. We'll then take a look at that and make any recommended changes and present to you guys, Board of Control, to move forward to the construction document phase. I have no new updates for the North Regional Library project, North Regional Library upgrades project. And as Danny mentioned, for Northeast, we're still working on that land appraisal with the attorney and the landowner. And we're waiting for the windows to be repaired in the director's office as well. That's all I have for facilities.
Okay. Announcements. Reminder, the next library board meeting will be Wednesday, February 15,
2023. Robert.
What?
Financials.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said that was it.
Oh,
I misunderstood.
That's
forgive
all right.
Me.
See where we are.
I was on a roll. We were flying through. I thought we were going to. Sorry
all
about
right.
That. Go ahead, Larry. Forgive me.
That's okay. I provided you guys with two financial statements. The first one I'm going to talk about, if you look at the top center of the page, year 2022, that was our last fiscal year. These are not audited numbers. There may be minor adjustments to these numbers, but I think they're going to be pretty close to these numbers. The fair market value reporting based on this financial statement indicates revenues at $10,869,000. And expenses at $10,890,000 for a $21,000 deficit. But don't be scared, it's okay. If you look at page two of this report, each year the investment officer and the accounting department have to adjust our interest on investment accounts. Basically, they do this for reporting purposes. It's not an actual loss. They just have to report to the public, basically, that if we were to basically be in default or we sold all of our investments at this point in time, we'd have a loss. But we're fine. The LCG never sells their investments. We hold them till maturity unless we're in some type of default situation. So we rarely have a loss. This is just for reporting purposes at this point in time. So book value indicates $11,284,000 in revenues and $10,890,000 in expenses for a surplus of $393,000. And that's what I have for year 2022. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Got it.
The second report is for fiscal year 2023, is the current year we're in, very early in the year. We have revenues of $3 million and expenses at $2.65 million. Our property tax collections are starting to come in. They'll probably peak around February and will trickle in through July. We will have some adjustments to our expense accounts. We'll be shifting our funding around. We're not going to be asking for new money. We're just going to shift it around. At the time we submitted our budget in May, the price of utilities were not nearly as high as they are, nor fuel cost. So we're going to make some adjustments and accommodate for those expenses that weren't accounted for in the budget.
Mm-hmm.
But total will stay the same. And that's all I have. Oh, one more thing. The State Library of Louisiana had some funding restored related to their statewide databases. So we will not have to pay our portion this year, and our savings will be about $16,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have for financials.
Next item, announcements. We have the two that are listed here. Reminder, the next library board meeting will be Wednesday, February 15, 2023. Reminder that yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training will be completed before December 31st of 2023. Just as a reminder, too, that the board members have to file a tier 2.1 financial disclosure. I don't know what's the due date. Is it
by May 15th?
May 15th. Okay, by May 15th.
So we have some time.
Yeah, don't wait till the end.
Right.
Because he wasn't here. Okay. Well, that's okay.
Well, a few days
then,
when I was president.
y'all remember last month, we initiated an award to a librarian for outstanding service, and we called it Above and Beyond. So, and we looked at some kind of general parameters, and last month, I say last month, in November, that was given to Mr. Roy, and then this month, this is for Mr. Perry Misner. Perry was involved with the LEH grant, and this kind of came about because the LEH grant, the way it was done was there was a cooperation that occurred between Perry, Danny, and also Dr. Petrie. And the three of them kind of worked together to put this together. Perry did the legwork, certainly, and he did much of the work in writing the grant and submitting it to the LEH, the state, to get the grant. And I believe that, Danny, it was accepted, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so it was accepted. So for this month, this was sort of the, and this is a little thank you card, and then we also have an award. If y'all were here in November, you saw the little award. It's a plaque, and it's really a recognition just to say, you did a great job, thank you very much. It's kind of an attaboy. As y'all know, I came from the private sector, and in the private sector, we wanted to do things like that to let people know we recognized your effort, we appreciate it, and keep up the good work. And also, it's always an incentive to get others to try to do the same if we can. So he's not here tonight. I think he had some family commitment. So I'm going to give this to Danny, and Danny can hand this to him as well. And so that's all I have. And now the next item is comments from the public on any other matter not on the agenda, which we didn't have any new business, so there's nothing on the agenda. So here we go. I think you have a few.
Funny you should mention that grant. My name is Lynette Mejia, and I live in Lafayette Parish. My comments tonight are regarding the upcoming Who Gets to Vote discussion series that was canceled in 2021 because the moderators chosen by the librarians were, as Ms. Armbruster said, extremely, extremely far left. The board even issued a statement then which said, quote, seeing that some of the more current topics to be covered in the program were political and potentially controversial in nature, the board re-emphasized its goal to ensure that the library as a government agency should remain politically neutral or apolitical entity. You went on to say the board requested that the director, Teresa Elberson at the time, comply with that goal by securing one speaker from each side of the aisle to fairly represent opposing positions on the current controversial voting issues in the program, such as voter ID laws, voter rights of felons, and the Electoral College. Finally, the statement ends with, moreover, to specifically address some misinformation out there, I want to make it very clear that the board's vote was never a rejection of UL Professor Dr. Theodore R. Foster III in any manner whatsoever. Although the deadline for the LEH grant has passed, we would welcome still Dr. Foster or anyone else to take part in a healthy debate with an opposing scholar on those more controversial voting issues facing America today. Over the weekend, I learned that the moderators chosen for the program, which begins in a few weeks, include Dr. Henry Robertson from the Louisiana Christian University in Pineville, and Dr. Anthony Baltakas from LSU Ian Eunice. Dr. Robertson's expertise is in the American Civil War, and Dr. Baltakas, from what I can find, seems to be mostly interested in the history of labor. Neither seem to have any publications related to voting, the history of voting, or voting rights from either side of the political aisle, which begs the question, why were they chosen? A quick perusal of the UL History Department website reveals at least a dozen potential moderators with background in things like women's history, Louisiana history, African American history, Southern history, all topics which would make for more relevant and informed moderators. This, on top of the fact that UL is our hometown university, is there something wrong with the scholars at our hometown university that we can't ask their professors to moderate this discussion series? In October, the old state capitol in Baton Rouge held this same discussion series. Guess who they asked to lead the discussion? Shailon Woods, director of the Ernest Gaines Center here at UL. But I guess she's not good enough for the Lafayette Public Library. So again, I ask, why were Dr. Robertson and Dr. Baltakis chosen? They certainly weren't chosen because they have expertise in the topic that we can't find close to home. They weren't chosen because they represent both sides of the political spectrum. A discussion series on the history of voting rights in Louisiana, of all places, held in a college town overflowing with amazing, accomplished black scholars, and not one of them asked to be a moderator. That's a joke and an insult, not a library program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Melanie Brevis.
Melanie Brevis, Lafayette Parish. November's meeting seemed to be about superficial attempts to show that board members are just like us. That maybe if we get to know some of you better, we'll forget about your hateful and prejudicial actions. That maybe if you gave a gift card to one librarian, we'd forget how you tried to illegally fire another. Someone even suggested we get to know members better so we can see what fine people they are. But we don't need more information. We don't need a 10-minute rundown on someone's resume. We don't need to know from speakers how many kids or grandkids they have or how long they've lived in Lafayette, as if that somehow makes them better people. We know all we need to know. We know a certain trio of parish council members have a clear type when selecting Board of Control members, and that type is a simple checklist. Conservative, Christian, willing to toe the false narrative that there is a leftist takeover and that children are in danger, willing to segregate certain materials due solely to personal belief. We know that people who speak about parental rights and community standards are just recycling old arguments from 20th century white citizens' councils who were alarmed over a communist takeover called civil rights and desegregation. We know that these speakers are the true groomers, passing along their prejudices and outdated science to their children and grandchildren. We know the evils of board members themselves. We know Ms. Armbruster stood on the street corner outside the library protesting drag queen story time, grooming her children and others by her messaging.
You're out of order.
That there is something pathologically wrong with certain gender and sexual identities, even as she claims to love everyone. We know Stephanie, Robert Judge, and groomers in the community.
You're out of order the third time. Could you? You have a remove, please.
What rule does she have to follow?
It's not hard.
At a police department at a neighboring parish. I think that it's important for young people to know firearm safety, and this is a very basic, good pamphlet on firearm safety. Being that it's good enough to be in a taxpayer-funded police department, I think it would be good enough to be in a taxpayer-funded public library. So that was one thing. So, and I've, of course, I would like to address the perversion that is continuing to go on in the child section of the library and teens. Particularly, there is one book called Flamer. And exactly how, I would like to know exactly how teaching children how to masturbate is going to prevent bullying. Because that doesn't prevent bullying. Things that would prevent bullying is having more books on things like morality and manners and how to, you know, treat other people nicely instead of just treating them like a sexual object. You know, it's all part of the further disorder that is in our nation. It's a brazen disorder. The fact that there are so many pornographic books in the children's section is just ridiculous. Why? How is this helping people who feel bullied and disenfranchised in our community to have books showing kids how to have sex? It's not helping bullying. In fact, it is actually helping kids to become sexualized, and John Bel Edwards just declared January as Human Trafficking Awareness Month. 36% of boys in human trafficking are boys being sold for sex to men. And we have a library that is going to have books in the children's section teaching them how to have sex with other men. I mean, it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. So, this isn't how taxpayer money should be used. It's better to be used on things like this.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mary Lib Gersio. First of all, I would like to commend the staff for having attained, reversed a very difficult financial situation that wasn't easy, and to come forward with a $300,000 plus surplus. I think they should get an award from the board and from the taxpayers of Lafayette. So thank you very much for your hard work. My hope is that maybe this will allow us to restart our newspaper subscriptions, because those had to be canceled for cost reasons, and there many, many people cannot afford a newspaper subscription. So I hope that there will be some consideration for that. I was interested to hear the director refer to a parents group being organized through the Lafayette Parish school system. Maybe I misunderstood it. I would love to have clarification about it, because I've not heard anything about that from the school board itself. And then finally, this has just got to stop. This is such a travesty. Such a travesty. I'm so disappointed with our, with how these meetings are being conducted. Thank you.
Robert, may I clarify the LPSS thing?
Yeah, please, sure.
Okay, it's not a parents group so much as LPSS has in their administration a parent engagement and a parent and family engagement group. They go that at various times to various parts of the parish to address parents. Some of them are offered at daytime. Some of them are offered in the evening. They're trying to reach them where they are and when it's convenient for them to help them with issues relating to studying or communication with parents to child communication issues, things like that. And so it's actually not a group so much as an arm of the LPSS administrative. So they reach out to the parents of students enrolled in LPSS. So it's not the general public. They don't reach out to the general public. Like I have a child in LPSS, so I will get the notice that the next session will be on such and such a day at this location, and this is the topic.
I'm curious about the library's involvement.
Oh, we're asking to, this gives us an opportunity to share with parents directly some of the resources that we have that we share with the schools, like Homework Louisiana and things like that, in a way that we don't often get.
Next. That's it? Okay. All right. Well,
President.
Yes, ma'am.
Could I be a public person?
No.
Can't comment at this time?
You can, if the board has a comment, that was, if the board has a comment, you can, but you're not a public. So you have, if you wish to have the floor, you may.
Okay. I would just like to ask our attorney, Ms. Bate, what are the parameters of item 9? What are the parameters of the, of what can be said, what comments can be made, comments from the public on any other matter not on this agenda? Thank you. I think everyone would like a clarification of that.
Right.
I know I would, as a board member, to know what is available to be said at this time if it's...
Right. So the board has adopted in the past a policy for public comment. Everyone, when they sign in to speak, signs into this sheet, and the policy is printed on the top. Let's see. Number 6 is no debate or confrontation with the board. Speaker will not make any derogatory comments about any person, but will simply state factually what that speaker's concerns are. So the basis for these kinds of policies is has a background in Louisiana law, and pretty much the standard there is, you know, the public has the right to view public boards conduct their business, but you have to balance that right with the actual conducting of business. So when conduct rises to the level that it is interfering with business, boards are allowed to make rules for the efficient conducting of business that don't violate any other laws. They have to be reasonable. So there is some background in attorney general opinions and other cases for if there's harassing comments that people can, you know, be asked to stop speaking and be removed from a meeting, and that extends even to board members, not just members of the public.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So if that's it, we'll have our closing prayer and we'll adjourn. Landers, could you lead us in a closing prayer? One thing before we do. I learned today, just for everybody's consideration, that Daniel Kelly's wife's grandmother passed away. And from what I understand, she was more of her mother than her grandmother. She actually reared her. So there was a death in the family today, just to let you, everyone know. So if you could keep her in your prayers and the family as they suffer through this loss. Thank you. Please, Shane.
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to have this meeting tonight, and we ask that you protect us on our journey home. And we just collectively pray for Daniel Kelly and his family, that you comfort them during this time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You want to hand this out to everybody. Yes. 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 Yes.